All right, let's try this again, shall we? All right, take two. I'm Mark Potter, and this is Stories We Could Tell, the Mavericks Fancast. Episode 32, I'm calling this one In My Opinion, and that's okay. But first, some Mavericks-related news. The Mavericks tour rolls on with dates in California, Arizona, and New Mexico throughout the month of November. There's more dates across the United States throughout the rest of the year, culminating in New Year's Eve at Green Hall in New Braunfels, Texas, followed by the Sandy Beaches cruise in January, more dates across the United States leading into Europe in the spring. And as always, for more information and links to buy tickets, always, always go to themavericksband.com. Last Friday, October 27th, a tribute album, which includes Raul Mallow's Saluting the Legacy of the Judds, was released. Titled A Tribute to the Judds on the BMG label, the album features 14 tracks from Girls' Night Out, featuring Reba McEntire, Carly Pierce, Jennifer Nettles, and Gabby Barrett, Mama He's Crazy by Lainey Wilson and Dolly Parton, Love Is Alive by Gwen Stefani and Blake Shelton, and more. Raul Mallow appears on a cover of Let Me Tell You About Love, which was the 14th and final number one song for the Judds back in 1989. Carl Perkins, who co-wrote the song along with Paul Kennerly and Brent Maher, also appears on the track with Mallow. However, instead of a creepy, posthumous duet between Carl Perkins, who died in 1998, and Raul Mallow, Mallow's harmony vocal is mixed underneath the lead vocals of Perkins. So that's somewhat of a disappointment. I still enjoy the tribute album, as my mom had a couple of records by the Judds when I was growing up, and I heard their music quite often during the mid-80s or the early 90s when Wynonna Judge went solo. So I enjoy the album as a reminder of music from my youth, despite the missed opportunity of another creepy, posthumous duet in the Raul Mallow catalog, counting the officially unreleased duet of Bridge Over Troubled Water that he recorded in the late 90s with the 10 years gone by then, Roy Orbison.
Well, Bonaparte and Josephine, I believe they had a pretty good scene. She said, Bonnie boy, we're through. That's when he met his Waterloo. Julie, baby, and Romeo fell in love and stole the show. Now I know their history, but it's just the same for you and me. And let me tell you about love, about the moon and stars and love. It's what we've all been dreaming of. Let me tell you about love. Let me tell you about love, about the moon and stars and love. It's what we've all been dreaming of. Let me tell you about love.
Just let me
tell you.
Once again, here's my disclaimer. Despite what some may think, I do not work for the Mavericks, nor am I on their payroll. Some believe that I have a way of passing on messages and or gifts to band members, particularly Raul Mallow himself. Incorrect on all accounts. Sure, I've met various members of the Mavericks over the years, but I'm simply a fan of the band and not an employee or personal friend. Even videos that I have uploaded to my YouTube channel, which is at youtube.com/@markpotter3714. Some have assumed have either been provided by the band or uploaded by the band on my channel. Again, everything on my YouTube channel has been sourced from my personal archive that I have acquired over many years. And this podcast is an unofficial Mavericks podcast born out of my love for the band as a fan and nothing more. Over the course of this podcast, I've mentioned songs and albums that I love from throughout the history of the Mavericks, such as Neon Blue, The Writing on the Wall, Touch a Lonely Heart, Back in Your Arms Again, and my favorite albums, such as What a Crying Shame, Music for All Occasions, and En Español. I've attended solo shows by Raul Mallow, somewhere around 30 shows by the Mavericks, collected recordings and memorabilia that date all the way back to 1980, all because I simply love the music of the band. However, that doesn't mean I enjoy everything the band has done, and nor should it. Naturally, there are moments that don't appeal to me. In this episode, which I've titled, In My Opinion, and That's Okay, I'll not only highlight a few songs and albums from throughout the Mavericks catalog that I don't necessarily enjoy all that much, I'll also reveal a revelation that I've had recently that affects one aspect of my Mavericks obsession going forward. You know, it's only my opinion, and thus it cannot be disputed or argued. It's simply how I feel, and stating so is to be an honest fan. Snowflakes need listen no further. So first, when I think of songs that the Mavericks have recorded that I don't enjoy, four immediately spring to mind. With the first being Save a Prayer from Trampoline in 1998. If it weren't for this track, Trampoline would be a perfect album in my book. Sure, I get it. Gospel music is one of the many ingredients that make up the Mavericks' influences, but this song feels false to me. Skipped since 1998.
When everything I ever loved would all be swept away by the moonlit tides that never made a difference to me. Now you better save a prayer for me. Oh, won't you save a prayer, and show me that somebody out there really cares. Someday you're gonna wish that you walked this way with me. Now you better save a prayer for me.
Number two, from In Time in 2013, Call Me When You Get to Heaven. Again, In Time would be a perfect album without this song. In Time remains an exciting album from the very beginning until this song starts. Then the album grinds to a sleep-inducing drag to the end.
I never thought that it was possible. Another woman like you. I must surrender to what's probable. For us, while angels beckon us to pray.
The only question is, from 2015's Mono, if Raul Mallow wanted to write a blues song, maybe a Texas-based blues would have been a better option, pulling from the influence of Stevie Ray Vaughan. As it is, this slow grind is ineffective, in my opinion. Skipped since 2015.
Number four,
The House I Live In, released as a digital single by the Mavericks in 2016. Though the song dates back to World War II, I first heard this song as a duet between Frank Sinatra and Neil Diamond on Sinatra's 1994 Duets 2 album. And later on I heard his 1945 recording when I started building my Sinatra collection. I didn't think the song was anything special. I love Sinatra, but this song just seems another example of almost blind patriotism in song during World War II.
What is America to me? A name, a map, or a flag I see? A certain word, democracy. What is America to me? The house I live in, a plot of earth, a street, the grocer and the butcher, and the people that I meet, the children in the playground, the faces that I see, all races and religions, that's America to me.
The place I work in, the worker by my side, the little town, the city where my people lived and died, the howdy hand, the handshake, the air of feeling free,
and the right to speak your mind out.
That's America to me.
When the Mavericks released their version as a digital single 7 years ago, the song didn't tug at my heartstrings or my sense of patriotism such as it is. Another song that doesn't appeal to me, and that's okay.
The house I live in, the street, the house, the room, the pavement of the city, or a garden all in bloom, the church, the school, the clubhouse, the million lights I see, but especially the people, that's America to me. But especially the people, that's America to me.
And you know, when it comes to albums, there were three albums that the Mavericks have released during their career that I don't especially enjoy. The first one being From Hell to Paradise from 1992, which was my first Mavericks album. And yet I rarely listen to it anymore. And it comes down simply to the production, the overall sound of the album. It sounds too professional. For instance, compare the version of Mr. Jones that was recorded for the first Mavericks album on Y&T Music in 1991 with the version on From Hell to Paradise. First, here's the Y&T version. Now, just pay attention to the drums between both versions.
I went next door to ask the neighbors if they knew what happened here to the place where all my memories remain. They recall and try
And now here's the From Hell to Paradise version of Mr. Jones.
I went next door to ask a neighbor if they knew what happened here to the place where all my memories remain. They recalled and tried to answer. Tears rolled down their eyes, but the best reply they had was made in vain. It seems the folks that used to live there
The sound of the Y&T Music album has a loose feeling. It sounds more organic next to the professional production of From Hell to Paradise. Just focusing on the drums on the first album, they sound like real drums, while on From Hell to Paradise, they've been processed or gated, or they sound as if they've been produced for a mainstream release in the mid-80s. I love the title song from Hell to Paradise, Forever Blue, I Got You, but overall, it's the production that ruins the album for me. All Night Live Volume 1, released in 2016. When this album was first released, I downloaded a digital copy while waiting for the vinyl and CD versions to arrive in the mail. And upon first listen, I wondered if the digital copy was a rough mix. Sounded like a soundboard due to lack of any audience noise except for in between each song. But it sounded as if the music had been recorded from across an empty theater while the band performed on stage. The drums were the dominant instrument. The guitars were buried in the mix. I thought to myself, surely this isn't the final mix, and I wasn't the only one who thought so. However, when the physical copies arrived, they sounded the same. How is it possible that a live album sounds worse than an actual concert, or that I have unofficial recordings in my collection that actually sound better? While writing notes for this episode, I listened to All Night Live Volume 1 for the first time since its release 7 years ago, and my initial impression still stands. This is the worst sounding album in the entire Mavericks catalog. And the only reason I own it is to keep a hole filled in my collection. The only redeeming quality to this album is that it features the first official release of the Mavericks performing Neil Young's Harvest Moon.
Well, there's a full moon rising. Let's go dancing. We know where the music's playing. Let's go out and feel the night. Because I'm still in love with you, I'm on. I'm still in love with you on this harvest moon.
2017's Brand New Day. Similar to the Trampoline album from 1998, Brand New Day includes songs from a variety of styles and genres that jump from one to another. However, unlike Trampoline, which is a great album with the lone exception of Saber Prayer, this album sounds as if 10 random tracks were tossed together and released as a single package. As a whole, it's not cohesive. The tracks are missing a flow one to another, as if it was copied from someone's playlist on shuffle. There are individual songs on Brand New Day that I love. The opening rolling along with its irresistible banjo driving the rhythm, easy as it seems. The New Orleans flavored Ride With Me that does Fats Domino proud. And the closing romantic leaning for the ages.
I never known a love to make me feel like this. I've never tasted wine sweeter than your kiss. I've never seen a star shining in the sky nearly half as bright as the twinkle in your eye. For the ages, that's what our love will be. For the ages, through all of history. For the ages, who could ask for more?
For my taste, the Mavericks had created and released overall better albums as a whole. What a Crying Shame and En Español, for example. Brand New Day feels tossed off and a lost opportunity. If you're a member of any of the online Facebook groups dedicated to the Mavericks, you're most likely familiar with the photographic work of Hilary Yasmer Shemin. And right now, you can contact her and order either one or both of her 2024 Mavericks calendars by reaching out to her directly on Facebook. Again this year, as in last year, she has put together two different options as far as the calendars go, one featuring various photographs of the Mavericks taken at live shows in various locations over the years, and a second one dedicated solely to Raul Malo. Both calendars are right here on my desk, right next to me, and they're both beautiful continuations of her annual tradition of digging through her archives and wonderful photographs. And if you order one or both, you're sure to enjoy them all year long during 2024. For details on how to order one or both calendars, contact Hilary Yasmer Shemin directly through Facebook today. Now, recently, I've come to a realization. There are certain aspects of the live Mavericks experience recently that I don't enjoy. For one, the song Every Little Thing About You. It's a song I first heard live in 2012 at the Mavericks reunion weekend in Nashville. The song was exciting. It built dramatically with a dual guitar section between Eddie Perez and Raul Malo, a highlight among several from those back-to-back shows. Now, for me, the song has lost some of the initial fire and excitement I felt. It seems routine stock, as it appears in every show I've been to over the last 11 years. I still love the original studio version on Raul Malo's solo debut album Today, or acoustic renditions that have been performed over the years, but live with a full band, it falls flat for me. I mean, if I was still a drinker, this would be the moment during the show when I would hit the head on the way to hitting the bottle. Ever since Ed Friedland stepped away from the band, Raul Malo has picked up the bass guitar, with the temporary exception of Danilo De La Portilla Cadano during a few live dates shortly after Friedland left, and I know I'm probably butchering her name. The Mavericks have always had twin guitars, and in the current iteration of the band, Raul Malo and Eddie Perez play off each other wonderfully. However, since Malo has moved to bass, not only has guitar interplay vanished, but with Dino Malo riding the drum stool while Paul Deacon recovers from recent heart surgery, I feel as if I've been watching a weak Mavericks cover band. Nothing against Dino Malo. I mean, he's a multi-instrumentalist. He's obviously talented, but he simply doesn't have the power in his wrist that Paul Deacon has. I know there's many that enjoy when Laura Tretro appears on stage dancing during Amsterdam Moon and La Mugera. But to me, it's just a needless piece of theatricality that is uninteresting and seems a cheap addition to the live Mavericks experience. A band using dancing girls during live shows has always seemed an unnecessary addition, so when Laura appears, I simply don't pay attention to her. And the light show. Whew. Here's an idea. Sunglasses should either be issued with each Mavericks concert ticket or available at the merchandise table. The current light show is blinding with light shining directly into the faces of the crowd. I mean, sure, light shows are concert staples and can add to the drama of the music and be used to great effect, but who wants to have sunspots as a result? I mean, I've witnessed those affected by the lights walking out of recent shows, and myself, I've had to look away from the stage because of the way that the lights are used. And after... Now, I can't stand for long, so normally I resort to grooving in my chair during a Mavericks concert, but Friday night, September 22nd, at the Majestic Theater in Dallas, Texas, I remain still, bored. Why? The crowd? At least in the area where I was, the crowd seemed subdued. You know, some wanting to stand and dance while someone told them to sit down. The same old eternal struggle. The sound? Was Eddie Perez even plugged in? From my vantage point toward the back on the floor, the bass was the dominant sound, with the guitar work of Perez barely a whisper, which is an insult to a musician of Eddie Perez's ability and talent. Honestly, I love the Majestic Theater. I fondly recalled the concert the Mavericks performed there in 2015 with a long set list of 28 songs. Now, I did enjoy hearing Raul Mallow perform two covers I've never heard him sing before, Jimmy Buffett's Margaritaville and a song called Nosotros, which is now the third song Mallow has either performed live or recorded that also appeared on the 1964 album Amor, Great Love Songs in Spanish, released by Edie Gramore and the trio Los Panchos. Someone should ask him about this album and its influence on him musically. Sidebar. The other two songs from the Moore album that Raul Mallow has recorded, Sabor a Mí and Cuando Vuelva a Tu Lado, were both included in sequence on his 2012 collection The Latin Record, which will be covered in an upcoming episode of Stories We Could Tell with past guest Judy High. And of course, the Mavericks also recorded Sabor a Mí on their 2020 album En Español. End of sidebar. Now at the Majestic Theater, I nearly got up and walked out. And if it weren't for my insane need to document the set list as performed, as opposed to the printed set list on the stage, which are merely a guide and don't always reflect what was actually performed, I might have. I walked out of events before, but this was the first time I had that urge at a Mavericks show. During a three-night run at Knuckleheads in May by the band, the crowd was energetic and singing along, standing, dancing, grooving. The band was on fire, and I loved it. But after the Majestic Theater in September, I have a ticket to see the band in Scottsdale, Arizona this month. And after that, I'm not buying any further tickets to see the Mavericks again. Right now, the live Mavericks experience is not appealing, and that's okay. I mean, I'll still support the band. I'll buy the new releases and merchandise, posters designed by Nick Farrow, but the live attendance for me stops now. Unless, of course, Paul Deacon returns, the band hires a bass player and Raul Mallow's back on electric guitar, and they play outside in the daytime, which renders the blinding light show completely useless. If a Raul Mallow solo show should occur within my neck of the woods, then I'll go. I mean, that's a completely different and intimate environment, and I would never miss such an opportunity to attend if possible. So in conclusion, this is simply my opinion. It's neither right or wrong, it's simply how I feel, and I know there are those who think the Mavericks are above criticism, and every album is the best release since the last one, and every show is the best one since the last one, and they can do no wrong, and there are those who turn defensive when an opposing opinion is voiced, but I'm not the type of fan that blindly, but I'm the type of fan that has to be honest, and I don't always enjoy everything, and I always will be. And while the Mavericks are among my favorite bands, I can admit that I don't enjoy everything that the band creates or offers its audience. And that's fine. For this Mav Song Spotlight, I'm reaching back to Raul Mallow's first solo tour of the UK during the fall of 1999 for a song called As My Boy. This is a song that has never been released on a record. It was only performed during this tour, as far as I know. I have two recordings of it. By 1999, Raoul Mallow and his wife Betty were parents with young children, starting with the birth of their first son, Dino Mallow. And naturally, it seems the songwriter Raoul Mallow wrote a sweet song from father to son. And this is a song that I can imagine him singing to his children when they're at home. Some of the lyrics of As My Boy are as follows. Enjoy the flowers in the spring, maybe even have a fling. Don't get your heart broke, you got to be coy. Proud to have you as my boy. Another verse says, when things are going your way, I know it's easy to stray. Son, if you ever lose sight, I'll do whatever you think is right. Now, I have two recordings in my collection of As My Boy, both from October 1999, when, as I mentioned before, Raoul Mallow was touring the United Kingdom during a solo run, where he was also supported by Jamie Hanna and Dennis Britt. And this recording, in full, is the better sounding of the two, both of which were recorded from the audience.
I love you more than life itself. My coffee candy on a shelf. You make me happy and bring me such joy. I'm proud to have you as my boy. You know I'll keep you warm when there's a chill. I'll comfort you when no one will. You'll be my sunshine when there's only rain. For you I hope to be the same. When things aren't going your way, I know it's easy to stray. Well, son, don't you ever even have a fling. But don't get your heart broke, you gotta be coy. I'm proud to have you as my boy. Do 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 do.
That concludes the 32nd episode of Stories We Could Tell, a Mavericks Fancast. In 2 weeks' time or so, in episode 33, my guest will be Michael Van Moor, who describes what it was like to see the Mavericks in Germany during the trampoline tour. That's next on Stories We Could Tell, a Mavericks Fancast. At the end of every episode, I always mention if you have any comments, positive or negative, you can always write me at mavericksfancast@gmail.com. And while I never disclose any of the negative comments or suggestions that are submitted, there is one that sticks out above all others. I was told by one person following Robert Reynolds' two appearances on earlier episodes of Stories We Could Tell, a Mavericks Fancast, where he appeared on episodes 14 and 19, that I needed to choose between Robert Reynolds and Raoul Mallow. What are we, in high school? I know Robert went through his dark time, and some people just cannot let go and realize that the life he's leading now, he's better off without the Mavericks. They're better off without each other. Robert Reynolds is married. He's teaching young children how to play instruments and music. in the town where he lives, and he's creating music that's more personal in nature and more truthful, more honest. And honestly, if he was with the Mavericks, I seriously doubt that any of the music he's created with 67 Son would even see the light of day. So to say that I needed to choose between Raoul Mal and Robert Reynolds, that's just ridiculous. I'm not going to do that. Jesus Christ, people just need to move on, let go. And if there's someone on here that a listener doesn't agree with or has a problem with, you know what? You don't have to listen. Move along. The home of the podcast is at mavericksfancast.podbean.com. And to listen to any episodes, simply search for Stories We Could Tell the Mavericks Fancast and you'll be able to find them. So come along and ride with me and listen to the stories we could tell.